But it is a joy to be back at the Faith Baptist Church here in Elizabeth City. Don't ask me how many years ago I was here. I don't have any idea. But I know that several of you have already mentioned that you were here when I was there. So it was when I was here. So it's been several years ago. And Mission Sundays is a very important day in the life of any church. You have your mission conference, and at that time, you usually make your commitments of what you're going to do for missions in that particular year. And then about the middle of the year, you have an emphasis Sunday. And that basically you can think about this, okay? Number one, if you are not giving, maybe you are not here during the mission conference and you are not giving the Faith Promise, then this would be a good time for you to make a commitment to give something every week to world evangelization above and beyond your regular tithe and offering. It's a very simple thing, okay? And if you did make a commitment, and if for some reason or another you have been neglecting on that commitment, this would be a good day to renew that commitment, all right? And maybe if you're already giving and God has been real good to you and provided that and even more, this may be a good day for you to increase your giving. So think about those three things as we think about Faith Promise giving this morning in Sunday school. In your Bibles, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and all of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and chapter 9 is written about an offering. Let me give you a little bit of history of how I came to know about grace giving or faith promise giving. In 1968, I was home on furlough from Japan. Actually, it was a little bit shorter time in Japan than I meant to stay the first term, but my mother was dying with cancer, so I came before she passed away and spent some time with her. And then, of course, I stayed here and tried to raise additional support since we went to Japan so under-supported. Modern-day missionaries could not even imagine this, but when we went to Japan, our support was less than $500 a month. So you say you can't do it, but God did, okay? I could not have done it. In fact, I could not take a piece of paper and a pencil and even begin to write down how it happened. But just week by week, day by day, hour by hour, God provided for us. And thank God for that. Now, I don't encourage any other missionaries to do that. In fact, when I was president of our mission, I would not allow them to go undersupported, okay? But God does supply. But I was on furlough, and I was preaching in a mission conference in the Marquette Manor Baptist Church in Chicago, Illinois. My home church was the Calvary Baptist Church in Harvey, Illinois, a south suburb of Chicago. And Dr. Wayne Van Gilderen was the pastor of that church. And I preached on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, he had a pastor in the area to come and teach the church about faith promise giving. The pastor's name was Dr. Billy McCarroll. He was pastor of the Cicero Bible Church, a northern suburb of Chicago. And I had never heard the term faith promise giving or grace giving. Most of the churches that I had been a member of, the Southern Baptist churches, I was a Southern Baptist before I got my eyes opened, okay? And, okay, don't record that, okay? But I was, and you know, we gave 10% of everything that came in to missions. And even when I became a member of an independent Baptist church, they did the same thing. They gave 10% of their entire offering to missions. And I guess you would call that budget giving. So I often tell people there's at least three ways of giving to missions. Number one is the emotional way. And That's when you have a missionary in and you see their slides or their presentations now. Thank God they're not slides, most of them, okay? We've slid enough, okay? But you see their presentations and maybe they have a need and you get emotionally stirred and you give something. And then there's the budget giving. You take so much of your budget and you give that to missions. But as Dr. McCarroll began to talk about faith promise giving, he mentioned three things I'll never forget. And all three of them I really liked. Number one, he said, it's a simple plan. It's a simple plan. I love simple things. Brother Pease, I know a lot of preachers that have a very difficult time preaching simple sermons. And I've never had that problem in my life. I just preach everything I know and it's simple, okay? I think it's Abraham Lincoln that said, God must have loved simple people. He made so many of them, okay? But he said simple plan. And he said this, you have a mission conference or you have a mission Sunday or whatever, and then everybody there is encouraged to give something for missions above their regular tithe and offering. That's simple enough. Simple. Then he said, it's successful. And he must have mentioned four or five different churches. And after being in this thing and preaching conferences all over the world, I could give you hundreds this morning. You don't want me to, but I could, okay? But he said it's a successful plan. And now let me just give you one. And my pastor, Dr. Paul Chappell, tells this many, many times, okay? The first time I preached at Lancaster Baptist Church in 1991, they were supporting four missionaries for $50 a month. Last year, they gave $1.6 million to missions. Okay, and they support well over 200 missionaries and all kind of projects and so forth. But now they've grown a little bit, okay? Numerically, they've grown. But as they grew numerically, their faith promise has increased and so forth. So it's a successful plan. It's a simple plan. It's a successful plan. And but most of all, he said, it's a scriptural plan. And when he mentioned that, I couldn't help but think. It may be simple, may be successful, but if it's not scriptural, then we don't give a whole lot of attention to it. But if it's scriptural, we ought to obey it, amen? In other words, it's not an option if it's scriptural, okay? And I really believe from the depth of my heart that 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and chapters 9, and that week, Dr. Billy McCarroll expounded those two chapters during the mission conference. And I had lunch with him on Tuesday, and I had lunch with he and Dr. Van Gilderen on Wednesday. And I just did everything I could, asked all the kind of questions I could. And I went back to my home church, and I said to my pastor, Brother Cannon, I said, Brother Cannon, I've learned something new. And I got excited about it myself, and I tried to get him excited about it. And he said, okay, Don, if you can teach it to our people, we're going to have a mission conference in a couple of months. If you can teach it to our people, we'll begin to use faith promise for our method of giving to missions. And I did that at Calvary Baptist Church. And that week after I had explained it to them, we had the mission conference. And when we made our commitments that day, I remember taking a faith promise commitment card. I don't know if there's any handy or not. But I took one of those cards and just simply said, by faith in God, I promise to give $5 a week above my regular tithe and offering to missions. Now, it'd be awfully easy to say $5 a week. You didn't have much faith, did you? But remember, I had $500 a month as support as a missionary to Japan. See? But the good thing about faith promise is this. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul made this statement. He said, when your faith is increased, talking to the members of the church, he was a missionary. When your faith is increased, we, the missionaries, will be enabling you, by you, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. So your faith ought to increase. Now, that was in 1968, so that was 51 years ago. Last year, I made my 50th faith promise commitment. And every year for 50 years, I've been able to increase my faith promise giving. All right? Now, when I first started giving, it was $5 a week. And if you would have said, okay, one day you'll be giving this much, I'd say, no, not me. But God blesses as we increase. Faith promise giving. Okay? And if we're not careful, most of us will not be giving by faith. Okay? So let's look at some things this morning. What I want to talk to you about today is this. The ABCs of faith promise giving. Now, if some of you that were here when Larry Duffel was here and I preached here, if you write in your Bible what was preached, you might write that in. You might have already written that in. I'm not sure. I never keep a record of what I preach. My wife used to get on me all the time. You preached that sermon here 10 years ago, and I said, okay, they all forgot it anyway. But here's just the simplicity of faith promise giving. The ABCs of faith promise giving. And here's the thing about 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Both chapters is talking about an offering. Now, the offering was not for the church at Corinth, but it was to be given through the church at Corinth. And by the way, the best way to give to missions is through your local church. So even though it was an offering, and Paul is talking to them about this offering, it was not to be it was not for the church at Corinth, but they were to make up this money, and then they were going to give this money to some people, and they were going to carry it to the saints back in Jerusalem that were in great need. So it was not for the church at Corinth. When you make a commitment to give $5 a week or $500 a week to Faith Promise, that's not for Faith Baptist Church. Now, it comes through Faith Baptist Church, but it's for others, something outside your own local church. And if you study 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that's exactly what it was. Now, keep in mind, all of chapter 8 and all of chapter 9, Paul is talking about giving and receiving, and so forth. And he gets down into verse 6, and he makes this statement. Look at it in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I love that verse, don't you? God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver, somebody that just rejoices in giving. Now look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things. By the way, there's a lot of alls there, amen. May abound to every good work. Now, remember, Paul, all of chapter 8, all of chapter 9, up to this point, had been talking about giving and receiving. And he gets down to verse 6, and he starts talking about sowing and reaping. Now, what's happened? Has Paul done like many of us Baptist preachers do and got on a rabbit trail and got off of his sermon? I never will forget being in West Virginia years ago. And I got so excited about an illustration. It must have been a good one. That when I finished my illustration, I didn't have any idea what I was illustrating. I mean, I had gotten way off. And there were three missionaries sitting on the front seat. And I said to them, can you tell me where I was in my sermon outline? So you better be careful, preacher. I might have to call on you, okay? Is that what happened to Paul? He's talking about giving and receiving. And all of a sudden, he starts talking about sowing and reaping. Not really. What Paul is doing is giving us an analogy. And he's saying, sowing and reaping is like giving and receiving. Our giving and receiving is like sowing and reaping. So let me give you four simple principles of sowing and reaping, okay? And by the way, if the children were in here today, they'd all understand these four things. That's how simple it is. Number one, you reap what you sow. Number two, you reap more than you sow. Number three, you reap in proportion as you sow. The more you sow, the more you reap. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. You reap in proportion as you sow. And then the last one is, you reap after you sow. Now the amazing thing is, all four of those principles of sowing and reaping, and I'm sure probably everybody here today knows more about gardening and farming and so forth than I do, okay? But we all understand them. But they all apply to giving, to missions. Number one, you reap what you sow. Jesus said to his disciples, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust are corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know what he's saying? And if we'll be honest this morning, and we are honest people, basically, if we'll be honest this morning, we spend most of our time, most of our talent, most of our treasures on earthly, temporal things. Guess what we're going to reap? Earthly, temporal thing. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we want to have anything to last for eternity, then we're going to have to start using our time, our talent, and our treasures for a spiritual, eternal thing. Number two, you reap more than you sow. If you knew how much God was doing with what you're giving, I believe we would all want to give more. For instance, when you go to bed tonight, somewhere in the world, there'll be a missionary that'll be getting up. And they'll start soul winning. And they'll start training leaders, and they'll start discipling people. In other words, the more that you sow, the more you're going to reap. So you're going to reap more than you sow. The first service we ever had at Sydney Newtown Baptist Church, 11 people got saved. In that service, a young man came to me and he said, Mr. Sisk, I understand you're preaching through an interpreter tonight. And I'm an English major at Kansai University. I'm working on my master's degree in English. And he said, I came here tonight to practice my English. And I had two thoughts that day, that night. Number one, I thought, I didn't come 7,000 miles so somebody could practice English. Then number two, I thought, I'm from Kentucky. My English is nothing for anybody to practice on. But I preached a simple gospel message that first service we ever had in Sydney Newtown Baptist Church, Osaka, Japan. And when I finished and asked for the hands of those that wanted to get saved, 11 people lifted their hands. Among those 11 people was that young man. And he said, I never heard that story before, but I'd like to be a Christian. he forgot his interest in English, and all he wanted to do was read the Bible and pray, go visiting. One day he said to me, I'd like to spend my whole life just doing what you're doing. He became pastor of that church. Today, it's by far the largest gospel preaching church in the country of Japan. They have close to 500 people every Sunday. Last year, they gave over $300,000 to missions. Seven families from that church on the mission field. And they have over 65 full-time Christian workers out of that church. You say, why are you saying that? Think of the people that supported Virginia and myself. Are they getting good dividends or not? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And sometimes we read a prayer letter and somebody gets saved in Honduras or somebody gets saved in Japan or Korea or wherever. And we say, that's the results of our mission giving. But that's not the results of it. That's the beginning of the results of your mission giving. Because many of those that get saved, they'll become soul winners. Some of them will become preachers. Some of them will become missionaries. And you just keep getting and getting and getting. You're going to reap more than you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. And you're going to reap in proportion as you sow. The more you sow, the more you'll reap. You ever heard the song, I Wish I'd Given Him More? It's like standing at the judgment seat of Christ, okay? And by the way, I am sure that when we stand there, that all of us will wish we would have given him more. But it'll be too late then. But guess what? Today, we can decide to give him more. The more you sow, the more you reap. When I was pastoring in Providence, Kentucky, I went to a church not too far from there, and they didn't have a pastor. And they had services on Sunday afternoon. It's a small church. But they said, now we're going to take an offering and give all of the offering today for Brother Sid, to Brother Sid. And I was sitting on the front seat like the preacher is here today. And I think I had a dollar bill in my pocket, and I took the dollar bill out and put it in the offering plate. We had the service that day, and after the service, they gave me an offering envelope. Said, this is your offering, Brother Sis. On the way back to Providence, I said to my wife, I want you to look into the envelope, see what our offering was. And she said, Don, in the offering envelope, there's a $1 bill. And she started laughing. And I said, $1 bill? I put the dollar bill in myself. So evidently, nobody else put anything in. And she just kept laughing. And I said, hon, what in the world is so funny? And she said, Don, all I could think of was, if you would have given more, you would have gotten more. Okay. I don't want to stand in the judgment seat of Christ and have to hear the Lord say, if you would have given more, you would have gotten more. Then the last one is, you reap after you sow. That may be the most difficult one. You reap after you sow. You say, that can't be difficult. But how many times have you heard people say, oh, if I had lots of money, I'd give a lot of money to the church. I've had people say, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to the church. Now, I've never had a millionaire say that. Okay? Most of the time, it's people that have nothing, or basically nothing, like most of us. See, God's not interested in what we'd do if we had $1 million. All God's interested in, what are you going to do with what I've already put in your hand? So you reap after you sow. A fellow said to me one day, if I ever win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, I'm going to give a lot of money to missions. And I got all excited because I know a lot of people that's won that, don't you? No, I don't know anybody that's ever won that. What was he saying? If I could reap first, then I'd start sowing something. Well, somebody came in, you know, prayer meeting and said, Pastor Pease wants you to pray for me. I'm a farmer. I'm not going to plant any seed this spring, but pray that God will give me a good crop in the fall, and if he does, I'll start planting something. You say, we better call the people with the white coat for him, amen? Or his elevator don't go all the way to the top or something, okay? I mean, we reap after we sow. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. When are you going to get out from under the curse of God and into the blessings of God? When you start tithing. Right? And see if I'll not open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. Give and it shall be given unto you. When are you going to start giving unto you? When you start giving. So we reap after we sow. Now look at verse 7. You have your Bibles open? All right, read it with me, would you? Let's all read it together. All together. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now this time, just read the first two words all together, okay? Every man. Once again, every man. Now, Paul's been talking about giving to missions. And he gets down to verse 7. And he says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now, who do you think Paul expected to give something? And all the women said, amen, let the men give. Is that what it means? No, many times, man is just used for mankind. So really what it means is this, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Wouldn't it be something if every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl at Faith Baptist Church gave something to missions every week? That's what he said. Okay. Look at it again. Every man according as he can figure out from his budget, so let him give. Is that what your Bible says? If it does, you've got a real bad translation, okay? Okay, look at it. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. What does that mean? Pray about it. Think about it. Contemplate in your mind. What does God want me to do? Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart. I'm glad God is a whole lot bigger than my budget. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Over in chapter 8, Paul made this statement, for to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Talking about the same offering. Beyond their power. How do you get beyond your power? By faith. You listen to God. You do what God tells you to. And then when he tells you to do it, you make the commitment. Week after week, you do it. And look what happens. Look at verse 8. And God is able. By the way, if we stop right there, that would be a good thing for today. Amen. And Paul could have said, God is able to do anything. And he'd been right. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing. God is able. But he's talking about giving and receiving. And notice what he said. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now what's he saying? Here it is, okay? When I make my commitment, and then week after week, I give that which I've committed, then Paul is saying, and God will give it to you so you'll have to give to others. I like Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And guess who that promise was made to? It was not made to a missionary. It was made to a church, the church at Philippi. And when Paul left Philippi, Macedonia, and went to other places, the church at Philippi would send to his necessities. In fact, they gave so much from their church that it created a need in their church. And Paul said, don't worry about it. You've given to missions. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And every once in a while I meet even churches say, we can't afford to give to missions. Wait a minute. You can't afford not to give to missions. I met individuals saying, I can't afford to give to missions. The fact is, you can't afford not to. When you begin to give, you get in on the promises of God. So here it is, okay? The principles involved, verse 6. The purposing of the giver, verse 7. And the promise of provisions in verse 8. The simplicity of faith promise giving. In other words, everybody ought to give something every week above their tithe and offering to world evangelization. And as you do, you're going to reap more than you sow. You're going to reap in proportion as you sow. And you're going to reap after you sow. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear Lord, that we don't have to beg or plead, but we simply read the word of God. And God tells us what we're supposed to do. And we're listening to your word. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Perhaps there are people here that's never gotten involved. I pray this would be the good day. That in their heart, they decide today, by God's grace, I'm going to start giving to missions. Maybe there are people that are giving much less than they ought to. You'd say to them today, by God's grace, I'm going to give what he wants me to do, not what I've decided to do. Speak to our hearts. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.